Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there. Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. I came across a very strange place the other day, a remote stretch of woods where people have vanished without a trace. Over the years, hikers and visitors have reported hearing voices in these woods, seeing figures between the trees, and encountering things they can't explain. Just trust me, it's about to get very creepy. This is the haunting of the Bennington Triangle. On a cool but sunny December day, an 18-year-old college student named Paula Weldon went for a hike along a quiet trail in Vermont. A couple walking behind her watched as she rounded a bend in the path and then disappeared behind a large rock. When they reached the same spot just seconds later, she was gone. No screams, no trace of her, no sign she was in the woods at all. It was like she disappeared into thin air. Paula Weldon was never found. Her disappearance in 1946 rattled the community, as she wasn't the only one to vanish in those woods under mysterious circumstances. Between 1945 and 1950, several people disappeared in the same remote stretch of wilderness. Different ages, different circumstances. But there was something they had in common. Most of the disappearances happened between 3 and 4 in the afternoon, and almost all during the final months of the year. Other than that pattern, there was really nothing connecting them. No suspects, no answers, and these woods became notorious, later becoming known as the Bennington Triangle. Some believe a serial killer was stalking the woods of Vermont. Others say something far stranger is at work. For decades, people have tried to explain the chilling disappearances, and no one has ever solved the mystery. Most people have heard of places like the Bermuda Triangle, a region where ships and planes supposedly vanish under strange circumstances. But far fewer people have heard of Vermont's Bennington Triangle, a loosely defined area in southwestern Vermont, centered around Glastonbury Mountain and the abandoned logging town of Glastonbury. In the late 1800s, Glastonbury was a small but busy logging community. But when the logging boom ended, the town slowly emptied out. By the early 1900s, it was completely abandoned, given that really eerie, desolate, ghost town feel. These woods are dense. It's isolated wilderness, remote even by Vermont standards. Thick forests stretch on for miles. Trails disappear into rugged mountains. And the region feels eerily untouched by time. But what makes this place truly unsettling is what began happening there in the mid-1940s. A series of disappearances, people vanishing without a trace. The first known case happened in November of 1945. A 74-year-old hunting guide named Mitty Rivers was leading a group of hunters through an area known as Hell Hollow, deep in the woods near Glastonbury. Rivers knew these mountains better than anyone, really. He had been guiding hunters through those woods for years, which is what makes this disappearance so strange. During the trip, something happened. Around 4 p.m., on November 9th, a friend saw Rivers walking along a trail, going in the opposite direction of their camp, and then he was gone. Later that night, when he never returned to camp, they sent out a search party. But they all really assumed he would just reappear. After all, he was an expert woodsman. If anyone could survive in those woods, it was him. He was actually like the person you would go to if you were lost. He was knowledgeable, experienced, but Rivers never returned. Soon, a massive search effort began. Over 300 volunteers, along with U.S. Army soldiers from Fort Devens, combed through those woods for 8 straight days. They searched miles of terrain, but they didn't find a single clue. There were no footprints. There was no clothing. No sign that Mitty Rivers had ever been there at all. The only evidence ever recovered was Rivers' handkerchief found by a hiker that next spring, along a trail just south of where he was last seen. Just a year later, the Bennington Triangle would claim its next victim, one of the most famous cases. As we touched on earlier, December 1946, 18-year-old Paula Weldon, a student at Bennington College, decided to go for a hike. It was Thanksgiving break, and many of the students had already left campus. But it was a nice day, so she decided to go for a walk. Paula set out alone along a stretch of the long trail, wearing a bright red coat. Multiple people reported seeing her that afternoon as she walked towards Glastonbury Mountain. And that was the last time anyone saw her. When Paula didn't show up for class the next day, alarm bells started ringing. And soon, one of the largest searches in Vermont history was underway. More than 1,000 people joined the search. Law enforcement agencies from multiple states assisted. But just like before, nothing was found. No footprints, none of her belongings, no signs of a struggle. It was like Paula vanished into the wilderness. The investigation became so controversial and so widely criticized that it ultimately led to the creation of the Vermont State Police just 7 months later. Paula Weldon was never found, and the disappearances were far from over. Exactly 3 years to the day that Paula vanished, there was another baffling disappearance. And this is one of the most bizarre disappearances I have ever heard of. In 1949, a 68-year-old man named James E. Tedford boarded a bus heading to Bennington. He had been visiting relatives in St. Albans and was traveling home. Multiple passengers confirmed seeing him sitting in a seat during the trip. Another witness was the bus driver. He recalled seeing him. But when the bus arrived in Bennington, Tedford was gone. His luggage was still sitting on his seat. His bus timetable was still there, but Tedford himself had vanished sometime during the journey. If witnesses are correct, he disappeared while the bus was moving down Route 7, passing directly through the Bennington Triangle. No one saw him leave. No one saw him get off the bus. He was gone. That is one of the strangest things I have ever read. I'm speechless on that one. Then, October 1950, tragedy struck again. An 8-year-old boy named Paul Jepson disappeared. Paul was last seen playing in the family pickup truck, while his mother stepped away briefly to tend to pigs at a nearby dump where the family worked. But when she returned, Paul was gone. Search teams scoured the area. They looked everywhere. A bloodhound was brought in and managed to follow the boy's scent, but the trail suddenly stopped at a nearby crossroads, suggesting he may have been picked up by a passing vehicle, but no witnesses ever came forward, and Paul Jepson was never seen again. Then, just 2 weeks later, yet another disappearance rocked the region. A 53-year-old woman named Frida Langer, an experienced hiker familiar with the area, was hiking along the long trail near Somerset. While walking with her cousin, she tripped and slipped into a stream and became soaked. So she told her cousin she was going to go back to camp, change her clothes, and be right back. Their camp was just a short walk away, but she never returned. Hundreds of searchers, along with helicopters from the Coast Guard and U.S. Army, searched the woods, and nothing. And then 6 months later, there's a horrific discovery. Frida Langer's body was discovered near Somerset Reservoir. But there was something deeply unsettling about where she was found, because this area had already been searched extensively, multiple times by hundreds of people. Yet somehow she had not been discovered there before. So much time had gone by, and it was past a point of decomposition, so investigators could not determine a cause of death. And so the mystery deepened. Why were so many people disappearing in this region? One theory was there was a serial killer stalking these woods, operating in the wilderness between 1945 and 1950. But the victims all varied widely in age and gender, something that doesn't fit the usual patterns of serial killers.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Others have suggested attacks by wild animals like cougars or lynxes, but there was never any evidence of animal attacks. And these animals are rarely aggressive towards humans. And mountain lions hadn't even been reliably seen in the area for decades. When investigators looked at these disappearances, they noticed something odd. Most of the victims vanished between 3 and 4 p.m., and most disappeared during the final months of the year. But beyond that, there's almost nothing connecting the cases. No explanation, no suspects, just a stretch of forest where people seemingly step into the trees and never step back out. So with few answers, more unusual explanations began to emerge. Some people claim the Bennington Triangle is a hotspot for paranormal activity. And these woods have no shortage of eerie stories. A chilling account that was shared with me personally was from a couple who hiked the Bennington Triangle a few years ago. It was early October, the same time of year when many of the historical disappearances took place. This couple, Ethan and Marissa, were experienced hikers. They had been traveling around New England for the week and were really excited for this hike. They had both heard about the Bennington Triangle before, mostly as strange pieces of local folklore. Disappearances, strange sightings, but neither of them really believed any of it. So one chilly afternoon, just after 3 p.m., they set out on a quiet trail that climbed slowly toward Glastonbury Mountain. And at first, everything felt normal. The woods were quiet, and they only passed one other person, an older man, heading back down the path. 20 minutes or so into the hike, Marissa noticed something strange. It suddenly had gotten so quiet. No insects, no birds. Ethan noticed it too. They kept hiking, and that's when they both heard it. Footsteps behind them. Not loud, just the soft crunch of leaves. They both turned around at the same time, but the trail behind them was empty. They waited for a moment, listening. They heard nothing. They thought maybe another hiker was catching up on them. They kept walking. A few minutes later, the footsteps came back. The sound of feet crunching on leaves. This time they stopped completely and turned around. And the sound stopped instantly. Again, there was no one there. Then Ethan said something that made Marissa's stomach drop. Pointing into the trees about 20 yards off the trail, deep in the woods, he said, "I saw someone over there." At first, they assume it's an animal, maybe a deer. But when they look closer, they realize something was standing there. Very still. It was tall. They tried to focus on it, but the longer they stared, the harder it was to make out what it actually was. And then it moved, not walking, not running. More like it shifted sideways behind a tree, and then disappeared. At this point, they're creeped out. They decide to turn around and head back to the car. I would have been booking it down that trail. I would have turned into a track star. They head back down to the trailhead, and that's when things got even stranger. They had only been hiking for about 30 minutes, so the trailhead shouldn't have been far. But they walked and walked and walked, and somehow the trail didn't look familiar anymore. The trees felt denser, the path seemed different. At one point, Ethan pulled out his phone and checked GPS, and it showed something impossible. According to the map, they were nearly 2 miles off the trail, but they had never left it. And then it gets really scary. So they're lost, they're disoriented. Then Marissa heard something behind them. a voice, very faint, like someone whispering from deep in the woods. At first she thought it was the wind, but then she heard it again. It sounded like someone saying, "Hello?" Like someone trying to get their attention. They both stopped walking. The voice came again. "Hello?" But it wasn't coming from the trail, it was coming from deep in the forest. Oh my gosh. You know, it's hard to know what you would do. It's like, you know, fight or flight. Would you freeze or would you run? I know I'd be crying. Ethan yelled back, asking if someone needed help, and there was no answer, just silence again. So they stood there for a minute, trying to decide what to do. Then they heard it again, branches snapping, heavy footsteps, something moving quickly towards the trail. They didn't wait to see what it was. They start running. Within a few minutes, it was like the woods suddenly opened up and they were standing in the parking area, right where they had started. They checked the time. It was just after 3:40 p.m., which made no sense, because according to Ethan's phone, they had been hiking for nearly 3 hours. The two say they've discussed this afternoon over and over, trying to make sense of it, but neither of them can explain what happened. And they aren't the only ones. Many reports of people losing time in those woods, becoming disoriented, and many of these accounts come from experienced hikers and outdoorsmen. And I have another true account that's gonna freak you out, because this one gives me nightmares. A woman named Janie shared her experience hiking the Bennington Triangle with her 19-year-old son. It was a quiet afternoon in early fall. The leaves had just started changing and the trail was nearly empty. She and her son love to do outdoorsy things, so they're like, "Let's go for a hike. This is going to be really fun." She and her son had been walking uphill for about 10 minutes when they saw a couple coming down the trail towards them. The man and the woman looked oddly out of place. They were both dressed very nicely, almost formal. The man wore dark slacks and a pressed button-up shirt. The woman had on a long coat and nice shoes. Not exactly the kind of clothing you'd expect for hiking deep in the woods. As they passed, the couple smiled at them. Not just a quick, polite smile, but a wide, lingering one. Janie said this gave her a strange feeling, but she brushed it off. Maybe they had just come from town and decided to take a short walk. So they kept going. Then, just a few minutes later, as the trail curved around a wooded ridge, they saw something ahead of them that made them stop cold. That same couple, standing on the trail, facing them. Which made no sense. They had just passed them walking in the opposite direction. There was no side trail. Nowhere they could have turned off. And yet, there they were. But this time, the couple wasn't smiling. Their faces were completely blank, almost stern. And the woman said the look in their eyes was something she had never seen before. It was cold. This woman's son says under his breath, "Mom, didn't we just pass them?" Neither of them spoke. They just stood there staring. The woman grabbed her son's hand, turned around, and began walking back towards the trail. She said she got this sense, this sudden, overwhelming feeling that she needed to get them out of those woods immediately. And as they walked back, they had that strange sense that the couple was still standing there, behind them, watching them. These woods are strange. Over the years, there have been reports of UFO sightings, unexplainable lights in the sky, mysterious creatures, and eerie figures seen between the trees. Also, local lore talks of a Bennington monster, a Bigfoot-like creature that supposedly roams the woods. There's also some really strange stuff going on. Accounts of radio signals picking up unexplained voices, and pilots reporting strange navigation problems while in the area. The Bennington Triangle continues to attract hikers, paranormal investigators, and thrill seekers, drawn to its reputation, leaving us all wondering, what is going on in these woods? Have you ever visited? And if not, would you want to? What do you think is going on in these woods? The disappearances, the strange activity? Let me know your thoughts and the theories in the comments. I always love to hear your take. You come up with really interesting angles and aspects to these cases and hauntings, and I love to hear. I think these woods are haunted or something. I mean, they gotta be. It's just too many weird, strange things going on out there.
Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.